This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Who that? Hey. Hey. Who that, man, this what you been waiting for? I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, cause now I'm getting hot enough to with one and stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television, and did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my tables turn. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. Who that? Cold. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and boy, is it a beautiful day outside. Beautiful day to roll around this city of Memphis. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Everybody's here and accounted for. My man John Martin, our man Brad Carson on the ones and twos, executive producer extraordinaire and program director. We are all here to talk about what we saw last night in that NCAA tournament. It was exciting, John. I'm locked in now. And boy, did we have some upsets and some shocking developments. Two words, Grant Nelson.
No doubt.
Who is Grant Nelson?
Who?
And how is he single-handedly beating UNC? That happened last night. It truly did. Tell you what, it wasn't the only exciting game. Clemson, Arizona, maybe to some of us more exciting than others. That was an exciting game, though.
It was.
And I'll tell you what, Brad, congratulations to you. Illinois is through.
Yes, they are.
Move on.
John and I never had a feel on that game. You did. Now, it might have been straight out of the heart.
It was close, though. I think I said stay away from it, but I, of course, was leaning Illinois, and I said they'd muck it up, which they did, despite shooting like damn dog crap at the free throw line. And if the announcer said it one more time, I was going to throw my television.
So we congratulate you. In Illinois, on advancing. Also, John, UConn.
Yeah.
They're blowing folks out left and right. There were things happening in sports other than the NCAA tournament, although we'll talk a lot of tournament today, particularly about today's games. My Balls, my Marquette Golden Eagles. Draymond Green said Johnny's got it this time. Opening day down at AutoZone Park for the Memphis Redbirds. Blake Watson is fast. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to let it go because The Rock told me we can't let it go. The UFL opens up this weekend. Memphis playing the Houston Roughnecks down in Houston. not as excited about that.
No, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you.
I tried. The other stuff's real.
Not on the weekend that the Elite Eight is being played.
All right, whatever. It's opening up. The Rock says.
We'll see you down there.
Invest.
We'll see you down there. I enjoy that we've reached the part of the season where you now have national college basketball opinions. Now, it takes to the Sweet 16.
I've had them the entire time.
Well,
I've only lost one of my Final Four participants, and that happened last night.
I believe you and I are both 3 out of 4.
You're 3 out of 4 for now.
Yeah. I'm not losing another one.
Well, I mean, you lost one over the first weekend.
Yeah, but it was a 3 seed. I mean, it was risky. It was a risky pick. Now, you're going to lose another one this weekend, and you know that.
We'll see about that.
You might lose another one tonight.
No, I could. I very well could.
Anyway, we have a lot to get to on the show today. At 11:25 or so, we're going to be joined by the great Anthony Saint. Have him here in studio.
Excellent. I got a gift for him.
Jason says he has a gift for him.
Yep.
It's really from the show. It's from the show.
Yep.
And you'll be presenting it to him live.
Sure.
Okay.
We could do that. I mean, I hadn't planned to do it live, but I just wanted him to know I got a gift for him.
Okay. Well, there you go, saying you have a gift waiting for you here.
Yeah.
And the gift is our presence. Our presence is a present.
Oh, no. It's an actual gift.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's real. So we'll do that at 11:25. Looking forward to that.
Hey, Grizz.
Anything that gets us off of that for a little bit, right? We could just kind of divert the attention.
I have to because you hate talking Grizz.
Well, there's nothing left to say. Okay.
No, there's plenty left. BC is back.
All right. Here we go. Ready? I'm going to give you the script for the Grizzlies.
Who you going to draft?
Gigi Jackson is good. Vince Williams is good. We miss Ja. Yay.
Bane 16 assists.
That's all I can do, man.
No, it's pretty good,
That's
actually.
All I can do. I mean, that's like I got bullet points.
I mean, we have to ask him about spots 11 through 15 on the roster.
Yes.
It's very important.
No, it is important. Every championship team has the best 11 to 15 in the league.
We have to shuffle through it.
So he'll join us at 11:25. Then at 1:25, the great Rob Fisher is going to join us from Bally Sports. We'll talk to him about the NCAA tournament. Obviously, the Grizz. His observations there from the sidelines, as always. So always good to be joined by Rob Fisher
from him as well.
At 1:25. I hope everybody's having a good Friday.
It's a great start to a good Friday.
I stopped by the post office, sent some cards off. You're welcome. I'm sure you're wondering who I sent off today. I'll tell you. Kevin Garnett on card auto. Thank you very much. Quentin Johnson auto. Rookie jersey patch, and then we sent off a Jordan Addison rookie auto patch.
Well, we did not need those.
So there you
updates.
Go.
Oh, this is eBay sale.
Yeah, that's your update.
How much
for the
did
day.
It cost you to send? I think is something.
Three packages was like $9.
Okay, mm-hmm.
That's nothing.
Yeah. It's no, very, you did pretty good.
Very cheap, yeah. So yeah. We're working. We're continuing to build an empire.
Was that you trying to grab getting the mayor's car last night?
No.
What were you trying to tell him?
I was trying to tell him.
So they were yelling. They were very inebriated, apparently, and they tried to get.
Do not raise my tax for the jail. Don't raise my tax for the jail.
I had a feeling it was you acting a damn fool out there. What was that, outside folks' folly?
Yeah, but like, so were they trying to.
Trying to get in the car with them?
They were trying to steal his car?
I don't think it was steal his car. They were just harassing
him. Dude, they just wanted some one on one time.
Some drunk.
Accosted was the word the news used.
Yeah, we had to.
Sounds like an accost.
We had to pepper spray that fool.
I love that was the method. Like, get out of here. You know, it wasn't like a.
I'm not going to touch Paul Young.
I know. I'm just saying it wasn't like hands. It was like pepper spray. Here's
did
some.
Did anybody
mace.
Ever try to grab Jim?
No,
it doesn't feel like.
No, you
wouldn't. Maybe that's because grabbing Jim.
He was so damn big.
You want to hear how dumb I am, bro? This is great. When I was like 11 years old, I was at my friend's house, and he had a bottle that looked like Axe. Okay, it looked like it was a container of Axe, and so I wanted to smell it.
Smell good in your FUBU.
And so I took it and I sprayed it, and it was pepper spray, bro. It was mace, and I was like, and then I touched my eyes, of course, you know. And so I can't see.
How old were you?
I was like 10, 11 years old, bro.
Did that damage? Does that damage permanently?
I can see clearly now the rain is gone, but I get it. I get why.
It works.
It, 100%, man. It's It's a pain in the ass.
I told you downtown when all hell broke loose at that KKK rally. They were protesting.
Right.
Yeah.
You got pepper spray?
That was back in 94, I think we went back and looked, or early 90s, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got pepper spray down there because they were trying to break up the crowd.
Yeah. So anyway.
Wow. It's not fun.
I kind of wanted a pepper spray Calkins this morning for some of his tactics. There was an Easter egg hunt around the building, and we found an Easter egg. We found one right here. But unfortunately, the candy's been already consumed.
He closed it up as if nobody had been here. And,
right. I mean,
look
just,
what you might find.
I think that's just
trash in there.
I think that's just absolutely
very petty.
Abysmal form by him. I think that is. Just,
and we had a great hit today.
Yeah, so you guys had a great hit.
We deserve that.
You guys were engaged. You
very
guys
much
were getting along.
I told him Faith was listening to him
Faith
this
was
morning.
Listening.
We were all locked in on the Jeff
Calkins show. And he said he would leave you a gift. He would leave you a gift. And that's what he did. So, thank you, Jeff. We love you.
Appreciate you, Jeff. Have a great Easter weekend, Jeff.
Yes. But
Resurrection Day.
What if I told you, you have that 30 for 30 music, Brad, somewhere? I need to get that 30 for 30 music, bro. This is actually very, you don't know where I'm going.
Oh, I know exactly where you're going. I'm glad you're going here.
What if I told you that Memphis basketball beat a team that is going to the Elite Eight? What if I told you that that happened? What if I told you that a band of transfers that would unfortunately end the season hating one another once banded together and beat a team that is one of the last eight standing? Crash and burn. 30 for 30. The 2023-24 Memphis Tiger basketball season, ladies and gentlemen. Streaming only on Tubi.
It's painful.
Might put it on Tubi.
Yeah, buddy.
No, that sounds like a good one, John.
No, listen.
Little Red.
I tweeted it, and I think people misunderstood what I was trying to say. So let me do on radio what I didn't have time or inclination to do on social media. Social media don't pay me, bro. That's the bottom line.
Well, you got to get verified. To get a little check from X.
I wasn't saying Memphis beat a team that's going to the Elite Eight to insinuate that Memphis, like, belonged in the Elite Eight or something, right? That's not what I was trying to say. I wasn't trying to use this transitive property.
Of course not. I hope not.
What I was trying to imply is that college basketball, it's kind of why we love it. It actually is why we love it. It captures the essence of it completely of why we enjoy it. College basketball results are wacky. They're random, they're stupid, they're illogical, they're nonsensical. They make absolutely no sense sometimes. Like Alabama beating North Carolina last night. Like the way that went, like I thought Alabama had played a damn near perfect game at halftime. They were down 8.
I would agree with you.
I'm like, I mean, this North Carolina team's just a locomotive. But then, you know, Hubert Davis benches Elliott Cadeau, the team makes a couple mistakes, RJ Davis goes 0 of 55 from 3. Alabama's going to the Elite Eight.
Baycott
missed a dunk, a two-headed dunk. I mean, envision that. But Clemson being an Elite Eight team is exactly why, in a weird way, Memphis fans should be hopeful. Like, and I'm almost talking to myself here in a way, because I'm sure if you've heard me talking about Memphis, it's pretty pessimistic. But the job for Penny is not the job for Cal. Cal got to go convince people that he can get to a Final Four again, right? He's got to go. That program expects that.
Sure.
But all Penny's got to do is make the tournament. Just get in. Because if you get in, look what can happen. Nobody had Clemson in the Elite Eight, bro. Not a single soul. That's a team you beat. That's a team that you beat. College basketball results aren't just stupid or zany or random or wacky for some teams. They're wacky for all teams. You can benefit from that. So that's why when we talk about making the tournament, man, I mean, Clemson was 10-10 in their last 20 games coming into this thing. They lost. They got packed up by Boston College.
Well, they're also not playing the AAC.
Exactly. That's true. That's fair. But I'm just saying they were not. They were. It wasn't like, oh man, Clemson's just a rocket ship taking off.
I think they came from off the radar.
Yeah,
I understand that.
And so I think that's why you can look at that situation. We're giving Penny all these blueprints, right? We're giving him Houston. We're giving him Baylor. We're giving him Clemson. But it's like, it's not that hard. It's not that hard what Penny has to do at Memphis. It's simply gain entry into the damn thing and let the chips fall where they may. That's what Clemson did. Clemson was a 6 seed. They were an underdog against freaking New Mexico State. Mm-hmm. They were an underdog against Baylor. They were an underdog last night. Like, if you have the right ingredients and it strikes that match the right time, dude, the regular season, who you beat, who you didn't, all you have to do is be there. You got to be there.
I mean, pardon me, but it sounds like a little bit of moving a goalpost to me. Because it's, and you can clarify, but it sounds to me like you're saying, just make the tournament now, give yourself a chance, just get in, and that's satisfactory around here.
Well,
that it's never been that. It wasn't that for Josh Pastner, the last guy around here to have a successful run at it in 4 straight tournaments, didn't get to the second weekend. The idea that we'll be satisfied with just making it. You're right. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Get as many cracks at it as possible. Get yourself back in, and that shouldn't be difficult. But to get the excitement level up again, to get the investment level up again,
right?
It ain't just get back to a tournament.
I mean,
again,
yes.
That sounds like a moving of goalposts. It still needs to be get back and get back to being a top 25 program on a regular basis, because that's what this program should be. And so, to your point, yes, I can see Memphis back in. But, John, if you're an 8 or a 9 seed, I mean, you know, the idea that you're going to be able to do this is still tough. We've seen it around here. What are we talking about? It's
right.
The spot you've been in,
right?
You know, prior to this year. So I hear what you're saying.
I just mean it like if you can do that, right, if you can just – and it's like it's easy, relatively speaking, to other, like, hot seats as they go, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find some glimmer of, you know what I mean? Like, I agree. Like, it needs to be consistent in the regular season. It doesn't need to be a please close our eyes and pray we can make it. But, you know.
I think it underscores for me how hard this is. I went back and looked because, I mean, you're talking about, you're right. I mean, you beat Clemson. You think about how good you were feeling at that point. It was Texas A&M, Clemson, and Virginia in a row. And remember what we said about this non-conference schedule going into the year just in terms of how good it looked? And then look what happened. I realized, okay, set aside Clemson, which is now made an Elite Eight, but these teams that you play, Michigan, Arkansas, none of that stuff helped you. Villanova this year. That's my point, is like with college basketball, you can see one thing, right, at one point and look very real to you, just like that non-conference schedule did, just like 15-2 and number 10 in the country did, and then in a matter of weeks, whatever else, it looks completely different. And so my point is, we you know, all these formulas we're giving Penny and scheduling and saying the way to do it, brother, it can all come so unraveled so quickly. It can all be a mirage in college basketball. You need the other, especially in Memphis's case, you need the other folks holding up their end of it, especially in that non-conference. You got nothing in conference. My point is it feels as hard as ever. And it just underscores, you were good enough this year to run off. That part was real, 15-2. And then still, in the same breath, you're that team that blew it all. That blew it all. Beat a team that's now in the Elite Eight. That was possible this year for you to be the team that's making the run, the high seed. And it all just fizzled and disappeared in a way we couldn't even wrap our heads around.
No question.
What's scary to me is you can think you got it licked in late January and the whole damn thing comes apart. You're right. Penny can get back to the tournament. You know, you've said it, Mark said it, everybody else. I think we all believe in get back to the tournament. But can you get it back to the level it's supposed to be? Because just getting back to the tournament, John, they lose the first game? Man, bro. Mm-hmm. We're still having the same conversation about whether Penny can do it. You know, that doesn't satisfy anybody. It's not
right.
All of a sudden people are excited again. That's why I feel like it's so difficult, man.
Yeah.
It's difficult. You can think you got the right schedule together. Boom, the schedule. You think you got the right roster.
Right.
Pull a couple pieces out of it, the roster looks like garbage. Because, as you said, they don't even like each other. And when you're, again, you make it more difficult when you have to replace 8, 9 spots every year. So, I don't know. I felt that what you guys were saying, what it said to me was like, damn, you're right. They beat Clemson. They should be in this tournament and still playing. But in that very same season, we saw literally the other extreme. And that can happen in college basketball. It's hard, bro. It would have been hard to predict this Clemson team's going to be it. What are we talking about? Like you said, they go 10-10.
Right.
That's college basketball. There are very few things that are consistent. UConn.
Yep. UConn is consistent.
Is the one thing you can point to last couple of years and say, well, that I can depend on. Everything else in college basketball fizzle right, you know, go right between your fingertips, you know, just like sand. It can. It can disappear.
Yeah.
But I have a high level of confidence, as I've continued to say, while I'll be critical of where Penny is right now, I have a high level of confidence he'll get this thing back in the tournament. He knows he's got to.
Right.
What, are you going to walk away a failed program hero that couldn't, you know, yeah, you got there, you got close, and you failed? No, the guy's motivated. He'll get him back in the tournament next year, but can you get it back to where we all think, where he truly believes it needs to be? That's still a question, man.
Yeah. No,
look, it's hard, bro.
Look, I don't want to move the goalposts. Like, I'm trying to, like, get this across while not doing that. I'm just saying, like,
UNC thought it had everything. Right formula.
No question. Like,
and their loose team got no.
Yes.
Basically, no tournament, you know, this deep history. They've been in the Elite Eight once.
Right.
And you're losing to a guy from, you know, North Dakota State, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah, no, that's.
You thought you had the right formula. It goes wrong.
Yes.
Last year, that FAU game. Same thing. It's so hard, bro.
Well, and sometimes you can think you have the wrong formula and it ends up being right.
The right one.
I mean, that's probably Clemson, right? Clemson, P.J. Hall did not have some otherworldly game yesterday. I mean, that was a very simple game plan. They just played incredible defense, which is what Memphis has done in the past, right?
Yeah.
And they got some timely shots from their guards. I mean, that's really what it was for Clemson yesterday. There's no reason that Memphis can't have a team like that. I mean, it's not like Clemson's redefining basketball here, and you beat them.
Look at FAU. You bring everybody back, lose first round.
Absolutely right.
Where's that supposed to happen? How's that supposed to happen? You got everybody back from a team made the Final Four. You're out. You know, that's college. It's crazy. There is no right formula. You just need it all to come together at the right time. And my gosh, it did for Alabama last night.
Yep. So look, I look at that, and in some ways.
You come away feeling better. I come away, it's just tough.
I just come away, like, the randomness can benefit you too. That's all. Like, sometimes the variance will shine on your ass. Sometimes it won't, you know? Sometimes, like, Arizona. I mean, Arizona was 20th in the country in three-point percentage. We know the day they had last night.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the brutality of it, right? You have one time. You have one game. This ain't a seven-game series. Arizona, if they had a seven-game series, would say, damn, that was a brutal night. We'll probably win this in five games. You know? Like, NBA teams can do that. In college basketball, it's a lot more punitive. You have a bad night, you're out, and that's the end of it. The randomness can giveth and it can taketh away, and it's the great equalizer. And the only way you can see and find out is if you make it in. You got to take care of your business in the regular season to get a chance to basically – and it's not this simple, but to pull the, you know, the lottery, to pull the slot machine, you got to enter the arena, you know, pull the lever. But Memphis has not done that, and they have to do it next year. No questions asked. It's non-negotiable. And I don't even know who's going to be on the team. You know, we don't have any clue who Memphis is going to field next year.
I mean, best case scenario for them is they've got five, right, on Scully now. If you've got David Jones, Jordan, again, this is best case.
Mm-hmm. Ashton.
The two freshmen, Sharon Fant and Ashton, and then the kid, Jared Harris. That's
exactly.
five Scullies.
Yeah.
So you need eight more.
You got to go get eight.
You
got
to question whether you bring Joe Cooper on. I'd set that to the side for now. I got eight holes to fill. Okay. That's a lot.
Yep. It is a lot.
And so what do you, and we're saying, well, you need some young guys in there out of high school that you can develop for a couple of years. You need some multi-year transfers, and then you need the one-offs. You need the one-year guys out of that eight. That's hard to do and put it together. And because again, what you know, again, if you've got David Jones, it's a little bit. It's a great first couple of steps, quite frankly. But if you don't, think about that. How big is it's a ninth spot open? But how big is that spot? This dude is an All-American. You know, honorable mention, but All-American level this year truly could have been on one of the teams if Memphis had won more.
Yep.
If you don't have him,
it's
a scarier proposition.
Yes, it is.
Can you get back to the tournament? Yeah. Can you get it back to how close you just were?
Yes.
When you were 15-2, number 10 in the country, to getting a top seed.
That's scary. That's
going to be hard.
No doubt. So
especially in the ever-changing world of college basketball. Yep. I wouldn't. It's a tough job, man.
Very
tough. But Penny wanted it.
He wanted it, so let's do it. Let's do it well. Anyway, fun night in college basketball. We'll get into the other games a little bit later in the show. Anthony Sain going to join us on the other side. Talk to him a little bit. You have a gift for him that we'll present to him live.
Yeah, I mean, you've made it that. I shouldn't have brought it up.
It's the greatest gift. It's friendship. So we'll talk about that, little Grizzlies, and more. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
Say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tourney, whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed. There's still some of those left. It's time to go dance in America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So if you haven't joined up, do it now. You can take great advantage of a great deal. That's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. You can pick who's going to win it all. Maybe you got a feel now. Just visit FanDuel.com/JaySmith. Again, to bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. That's FanDuel.com/JSMITH. It's only on FanDuel Sportsbook, official partner of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online, real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-drawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Anthony Sain is the host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media. Tribal Chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist, founder of Asylum Media Group, and father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sain. You can follow him on X at Sain Asylum. We are grateful to have him join us every Friday at this time. He joins us now. We were just asking him about the Paul Young situation.
Yeah.
Somebody tried to get our man last night.
Yeah, wild stuff, man. Hating on my guy.
Nobody ever tried to jump in the car with Jim Strickland.
I know. We don't know that, but no, we never heard any stories about
that. Public reports of that.
Yeah. I'm already grieving, man.
Why are you grieving?
Drake and Future broke up, and I had no idea they were beefing. According to reports, it's been going on for the last...
Why is Drake beefing?
Two or three years under our nose, man. Yeah, so... Now, I went back and listened to the old songs, and yeah, that was about Future. I listened to this. Yeah, that was about Drake, and I'm just not dealing with none of that well. I've been kind of in a funk. Brad Carson for like the last about a good week, man. Brad, are you aware of the Drake and Future breakup?
I am not. Give me the scoop, man.
Yeah, they fighting over women, man. Fighting over women. And just
that's not worth
it. Big bank take little bank and big stick take little stick type stuff.
And that seems like something not to fight over.
My guy is 21 now.
Who?
21.
21 Savage, yeah, I fooled him. Yeah, he's Team Drake. In the whole Civil War of it all, I think 21 is definitely on Team Drake.
21, let me ask you one thing about 21 before we get to something. Do folks hold it against him anymore? The whole, hey, at first he was trying to rep Georgia and all that, and we found out that man is from London or whatever else.
Yeah. He's from Liverpool.
It seems like we kind of put that in the background.
Yeah, man.
Background.
If you make good music, you're relatable, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, he came on CBS Special Report.
But he doesn't talk.
Yeah, well,
it's like he's trying to hide the accent.
I apologize for... The miscommunication here, and try to move forward.
Yeah, man.
British rapper.
Yeah.
Because we already don't have any. Like, I was listening to you and John talking the other day about white American NBA players, right? And it's always
it's
funny.
It's an exciting time.
Yeah, it's always funny when I hear John talk about that type of stuff. But
I love white American basketball players.
Hey, bro, I ain't mad at you, bro. At least you're being real about it. Everybody
else. I mean,
everybody else does too. They just pretend they don't.
Mark Spears wrote a story. They were dying.
It's the human condition, bro. Mm-hmm. We when in a social setting, right? We seek
people that it's just the human nature.
Mm-hmm.
People that look
you can
like
relate
us.
To it, yeah.
Exactly.
To make me feel like, hey, I can do that too, or my kids can do that.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, especially if there's a room that's dominated by someone that doesn't look like you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, I mean, we can talk around it.
But, again, that was born out of a story that Mark Spears actually wrote for The Undefeated about the American white player.
But, I mean, like,
it wasn't just something that came off the show John is looking for every night. That discussion and all of it started with that story that Mark Spears wrote.
But the truth of the matter is, and I don't mind saying this.
We hadn't thought about it till then.
Because you guys know me, it's all love. But I was 11, 12 years old. I want to be J. Will, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, all y'all want to be Eminem.
Yeah, well, I mean,
some
kinda.
Of you did.
I mean, I did the whole thing. I bleached my hair. I did all that. You know, and that's natural. You know what I'm saying? But it's all love. But would I love to have like a white American basketball hero again? Hell yeah, let's go.
That's why you pushed off. You pushed off. You denied Austin Reeves too long.
I might have. He might be him.
No, it's does cool. It's Cooper Flag.
Does
it's
he have your respect? Does Austin Reeves have your respect?
As what?
As a baller.
He's hit or miss. I think he gets the L.A. curve. I don't really know how good he is if he doesn't play for the Lakers. I don't even know if he even has a career if he doesn't play for the Lakers.
Man, with the other night without LeBron,
he went off. Yeah, for sure.
So I mean, AD is still playing.
No, I agree with that. If he was with the Hornets. You know?
Yeah, I don't know what he would be if he played.
Gordon Hayward?
Gordon Hayward was like all-star, like best candidate, like one of the best small forwards in the league type conversation.
Is Kyrie the only player that like started with LeBron and went on to like be semi-successful somewhere else?
Started with LeBron. I don't know. Because LeBron's played with a lot of dudes. So I don't really know who all meets that criteria.
I mean, LeBron came a little later, but Kyrie hadn't done anything. Yeah. He was, you know, they were losing a bunch of games. Yeah. Like, it just feels like guys that play with LeBron, if they leave LeBron's orbit.
Yeah, they kind of fall off.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's very few success stories.
Not many guys who actually got better when they got away from LeBron. I can't think of any off the top of my head. We were talking about you and your love for American white people, right? I'm a little afraid. We were talking about 21 Savage, right? I'm concerned because every black actor that I see when they interview the dude, he's, I just read this role.
That used to bother me.
I'm like, good God, bro. Like, any of y'all from America? Like, ain't no more black, ain't no just regular black dudes there? Like,
but we got them.
And they're playing the parts better than American black. They're playing American black dudes better than American black dudes are playing American black dudes.
Yeah, that English rap is a real thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge over there.
But 21 Savage ain't got an accent. I think the voice we hear is actually.
Yeah, I mean, he's American. I mean, he was.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's an American.
I think he's just now got his, I think I read the green card.
He's not cosplaying, though. Like,
nah, he's not pretending to be.
Yeah. I think he's really, you know, I mean, he hangs out.
You know, I made an album with Drake, mate. And it's, you know, he's not doing that.
Like, I'm just talking when he said G-Block. You know what I'm saying?
That's real, bro.
But England rap is very England rap is very distinct, though. It's like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't. It's not like.
It's almost like, it's kind of like drill rap.
That's exactly what it is.
It's not like the style that 21 Savage does.
I think Jeff's intro is actually an English rapper, believe it or not.
Oh, that dude?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember y'all first brought that song out. I instantly went to whatever, Apple Music, whatever.
You can hear it. This is something they call a groundbreaker. You can hear the accent in his voice, bro. Did you know that, Jason? That was an English rapper?
I didn't.
Well, now you do.
Yeah, jump up.
Enjoy your weekend.
What are you holding your headphones like you're in the studio?
Yeah, I just got my hair. Like I just got my hair done, man.
I knew that.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I mean, it was pretty obvious, but you know what? That's why you asked. There's no such thing as a bad question.
In a couple of days, I'll put the headband. I'll put the headphones in the hair, but not today.
Many people are asking, what did you think of Brandon Clark?
Oh, man, I was super glad to see him out there, man. Honestly, I was talking about this on my show today that you could catch on podcast anytime. Like, I'm at the point where when I rarely go to Grizzlies games, and even when I watch them on TV, I'm easily distracted by the games. I easily pull away from it. Man, I was walking around the arena. Me and Jonathan C. Smith were mobbing. I saw like his first rotation. Then once he came out, I got him. We started mobbing. And I didn't see anything else from Brandon Clark. I heard the game. I heard, you know, crowd cheering. And I heard his name get called a couple more times. But I'm just glad to see him out there, man. And when I did see him out there, he looked good. When he sat down, I could tell he was winded. But the fact that he still can get to those go-to moves that he has, that's what I'm impressed about. The dunking, all that stuff, it'll come. He didn't look like he's out there laboring.
Right.
He didn't look like he doesn't need to be out there. So I know condition is a major thing. So I think the Grizzlies are excited about that. I think one of the reasons that you bring him back is to kind of see where he is, you know, see what he needs to work on this offseason, how far away he is from being the old Brandon Clark. And he doesn't look too far away from it. He looks good. I heard Chris Harrington say that he has, you know, if you're a Memphis checker, he's got one big leg, one little leg going on right now. But, you know, that'll come back.
I mean, I thought it looked pretty natural. Just like that's who he was before the injury. You know, springy.
He could get to his stuff, man. And he looked, when I first saw that first little baby hook, I was like, oh, yeah, this almost had a tear come to my eye for sure.
Doesn't sound like you would. I mean, I know my man John was in the dumps about not being more competitive against the Lakers. Sound like no, you were having the ball. No, you were running all over the
floor. That's the reason why I was walking around, because I do feel a way about that we aren't more competitive in certain games.
You like, do feel his frustration.
Yeah, like
that was one where there
John was
been.
Texting me.
That should have been a that should have stayed close throughout. Yeah.
And then you saw the tweet came out where a fan recorded Gigi saying, you know, I got to get the ball to score type stuff. And,
oh, wow.
And I'm watching Jake LaRavia. They're using him like he's little Luka or something. I have to like, dude, why y'all feature this dude? And Gigi's just kind of out here against LeBron James. Because Gigi, yes, he's this humble, nice, you know, childlike player out there or whatever. But Gigi also has been a highly recognized top player in the country for a long time. And he's got the mentality of, you know, a star player. And there's a reason why he's – I don't think that he's going off on TNT games by coincidence. He knows when he's on national television. And he knows that he's playing against LeBron James, you know what I mean? And I can understand those frustrations for sure. And it's just – and then the Taylor Jenkins comments after the game, I'm like, all right, bro. Like, let's just go ahead and get this season over if this is what – I have to endure for, you know, 9 more games of stuff like that. And I'm not upset about them losing. I mean, I don't care about any of that. But you would just like to see something that looks more like we're really trying to win this basketball game. And if you lose to a better team, cool. I mean, I get all that. But one thing I am concerned about, and I heard a clip you guys run during a commercial of Mark Giannotto kind of going off about it. I'm not there at all. He was going off about Jaren. I was like, what? That was pretty strange. But I was like, all right. But it is kind of – it's not really concerning, but it's really a reality to show you. Like, I remember people talked about, like, the old Grizzlies teams, the grit and grind teams, right, how they weren't – there wasn't really a best player, and they were all the sum of their parts, right? They had to be a collective unit to be good. Jaren Jackson Jr. by himself, all-star level player, all-defensive player, total bag of tools in a 7-foot frame, right?
Great ISO player.
Right. He's becoming an incredible ISO player as well. Desmond Bain, ISO player, mid-range jump shot, pull-up, three-point shooter, getting downhill, all those things. All-star level player, right? Those two guys together are not making this a good team. and if, you know what I mean, like this team, it seems like they should be, you know, more. I mean, they had games where they've beat teams they flat out should not have beaten, right? But they just don't look good together. But when you add Ja to the mix, now they all look like rock stars out there. You know what I mean? I think it's one of those type of things. So that's just like in Phoenix. You've got Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and they're eighth in the West. You know what I mean? Like it has to be the right mix of dudes. So when the Grizzlies get their guys together, they're a top 2 seed in the West. You know what I mean? With those three guys all playing at the same time. So I'm not really concerned. Like, oh, they got to give us more. Like, I don't think there's more to give.
Right.
But I think it is pretty much showing you that this is what we are. Like, if without Ja Morant being the head of the snake on his team, shout out to LeBron James for a classic quote on that as well. Go do the research. But, yeah, it's like it's the reality is, like, these guys all have to be together. They're not good just with, you know, those two dudes out there. Even with Gigi being good, they're not good. They have to have Ja out there with them. So, yeah.
I was like, you know, that felt like a game. And again, trying to inject anything into, but you're kind of becoming whole again. I know you don't have your point guard. You don't have Marcus Smart, but
and you didn't really have a heavy Lakers crowd that night. You had like the fake Lakers fans,
right?
They were like squealing for LeBron. They also were cheering when Brandon Clark came.
That's right.
It wasn't really a heavy Laker crowd.
No, that's true. And so I was just like, you know, it's a little, again, I'm not going to sit here and make any kind of sweeping statement about, I'm worried about Nick, you know. But it's just like, you know, damn, can we get like one feel good anymore?
Yeah. I'm worried about Taylor Jenkins, though, because that was like playoff game 3 level stuff we've seen from him. Like, I've seen that in games that matter, like him having that same. He might not come out and say, well, we had this game planned and maybe we waited too late. But we've seen it, whether he missed it or not. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that type of stuff concerns me for sure. But I made that whole statement on Twitter as well and anywhere else where I get a microphone. My whole thing about debating what Taylor Jenkins is or isn't, Like, it's time out for all of that. Like, it doesn't even matter at this point. The proof will be in the pudding next season when you got your full roster. And you'll either is the guy or he won't be. And it won't be the playoffs before you realize that. You should be able to see that very early in the season. All right, something ain't right. And guess who's going to make that determination? It's not going to be Grizz Twitter. It's not going to be Zach Kleiman. It's not going to be Jeff Calkins. It's not going to be me, you, nobody. The players are going to say, all right, we had enough of this dude. And it's going to be evident. And he'll be gone. Like, that's how this usually works. When these teams go from being young, transitional teams, and then they get to the point where, okay, we're ready to compete. And we have a guy like Marcus Smart on our roster who's been there, done that. And we have a guy like Derrick Rose, maybe, who's on the roster who's been there, done that. You start saying, all right, get this guy out of here. Let's get a guy who's ready to coach us to a championship. So I don't really have the energy or the space to debate about what Taylor Jenkins is or what he isn't, because that type of stuff is going to work itself out anyway.
What is Golden State going to do with Draymond?
Man, I don't know.
Steph was fed up the other night. It was different.
They decided to sign that dude at whatever age he is now.
Monster contract.
To whatever many years they got left, right? They should just let us take him off their hands. Like, that was on the table.
They made a major mistake.
That was on the table.
Who's going to take that contract
Nobody.
Off their hands?
Right? Nobody. Like, I laugh at their fans. I got a good friend of mine, my guy Clay. We went to high school together. He's a huge Steph Curry fan, right? Because of that, he's like dragging out this, I'm a Golden State Warrior fan thing out to the dying day. Like, bro, that day is coming. Like, that organization is done, bro. Like, those dudes... Like I said, the three faces of the NBA that they're dragging in front of us, that they're still parading in front of us, are that they're forcing us to care about, are the 8th, 9th, and 10th seeds in the West. That's Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry. Those are your three bottom teams in the play-in standings, are those three teams, you know. So it's like, I'm loving all this, man, because I'm ready for the NBA to move on. There's another crop of superstars that can definitely be the faces of the league, and yeah, that Golden State thing, I'm excited to see them die. I'm super excited to see the Lakers die. That's not even a LeBron thing. I'm ready for LeBron to move on just so the Lakers can go back to being mid as hell like they were for about 6 or 7 years before LeBron came and decided to start making movies. And Phoenix, I told people when they did that, sounds good on paper, but let's see how that plays out in real life, because you literally have three guys that can play in Yuta Watanabes out there. So that's literally what that whole team.
Is that in Phoenix now, too?
I think he is. Yeah. Grayson Allen's doing fine there, but they right. don't have much depth at all on that team. And you just can't win that way. You've got to build teams through the draft. You've got to make smart decisions. You've got to have good contracts. You got to have depth on your team. You just can't have three really good players and just think you're going to just go win the NBA championship. Those days are far from over. The CBA just won't allow you to do that anymore. So
Denver's just quietly running the league anyway.
They about to win again.
He's really the face that we don't want to acknowledge of the league.
And it's the face that the league may not want to be the face because he don't really care about
He doesn't care about being the face.
He'd rather be at the house, looks like.
He definitely wants to be sitting in the fourth quarters and taking care of business in the first three, and it's all about business and basketball.
Right. And I think a lot of stuff with Jokic is phony, too, because I think the fake lack of emotion he had,
You think that's fake?
I think that was trolling everybody. There's no way in the world that you are playing on that high of a level, that you've been dedicated to the sport your entire life, you win on the highest level, and you're like, oh, I just want to go home and play with my horses, whatever the word he was talking about. Like, I think all of that was trolling. His nickname is the Joker. Like, I think he's dying laughing on the inside because he's got people thinking he don't care. I thought all that was trolling for sure.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, with Rui, like, why.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad y'all asked me that.
Was that just a commentary on the city, or do you think it was deeper?
I think it's deeper. I went into that today on my show. Again, you guys can watch on podcast anytime you want, Bluff City Media YouTube. Watch it immediately after this show if you like. But what was I about to say? Okay, you got to remember, Rui Hachimura was playing for the Washington Wizards his entire career. Never played in any games that mattered at all, right? So he's playing out there. He had some good games. Mostly was just kind of, you know, his value tanked big time. The Lakers got him for nothing, right? Kind of like a Zaire Williams type dude. But he on a bad team, so nobody cared. He goes to the Lakers. He plays in his first meaningful game ever. Has the biggest game of his career, right? And it's on the playoff stage. So your first response is on the road, hostile fans, and he's black and Asian at the same time. And if you check any comments to tweets about him, the stupid stuff is coming out. You know what I mean? Like, people just can't say you suck. It turns into you foreigner or, you know. I'm not going to repeat some of the stuff they said, but he gets a lot of that type of stuff right. So I'd imagine that his first impression of Memphis probably was laced with a lot of stupid stuff. You know what I mean? Especially when I've seen Memphis fans responding to tweets about him. And he's on Twitter. I don't know if he's active on Twitter, but he probably sees a lot of stuff coming from Memphis. So I wouldn't feel the best way about the city either. You got to think about it, because that's real. That's the truth. Like, he never – that was the first game of basketball that ever meant anything. It was also his biggest game. He's killing us. And I'm sure people were saying some wild stuff to him. Plus, him and Desmond Bane got into it. He's probably never had anybody get into it with him before. It was his first playoff game. So I'm sure his impressions of Memphis are based on something like that. I don't think it's because he got bad service at the Rendezvous or he couldn't find anywhere to party. I don't think it had anything to do with that. I think it was vitriol that he got from fans, because, you know, a lot of times Memphis tries to exclude ourselves from the rest of Tennessee. But there's a lot of people with that same mind state. That mindset, you know, who do the same type of stuff. So I'm sure it was based off of something like that, for sure, with him. Because he gets it. Like, if you look on his Twitter, if you look at responses to stuff that he, like, even in that, it's a lot of people with Grizzly logos as their face that are saying some pretty racially messed up stuff.
You think he gets more of that here?
It probably was his first taste of it. Because you got to think about it. Like we say, oh, he only has good games in Memphis. Like, that may be true. Like, we haven't seen him really... And this first experience going off why would he get attacked at all to Washington? Nobody gives a crap. Like,
right,
his first ever game that matters was in Memphis, hostile environment in the playoffs, on the road in Memphis. Yeah, he probably got all kind of stuff coming to him from the fans. So, and after the game, he probably got a lot of stuff on Twitter. He's a young dude. Him and Brandon Clark are about the same age. He's young. He's like probably 24, 25 years old. Mm-hmm. So if he probably was on Twitter and saw some of the stuff people had to say, he's like, I don't really care for Memphis. I wouldn't either if that type of stuff was coming at him. I don't think it's an indictment actually at the city. I don't think it's about, you know, ain't enough five-star hotels down here or clubs. I don't think it had nothing to do. Like, that's where people are trying to take it. I'm like, I don't really think. That dude looks like he sits at home and plays video games, like most players his age. They party, but yeah, on the road they bring a PlayStation 5. Like, that's what they're about. So, yeah, I don't really think it's an indictment on the city in that way at all.
Oh, is Boston trying to tell us something in these losses to the Hawks, or is this just they've already locked up the one seed? Let's wait till the playoffs. We'll judge Boston then.
They chilling, but I will say one thing though. A friend of mine texted me that Atlanta has the Hawks have a winning record ever since Trae Young's been gone. DeJounte Murray, people tell me, you don't know who. All right, whatever. But DeJounte Murray is a better fit for that team, culture-wise, and just not being a jerk like Trae Young is. Like, that dude's really good, man. He defends.
Him.
He's big. He can score. He can shoot. He can play make. He's just a better leader than Trae Young is. And that team, after he's gone, is 12-10 ever
They've
since.
Responded to it.
Had a losing record when Trae Young was their starting point guard. And I'm a big DeJounte Murray fan. And when they first got him, people were talking about, well, man, that's going to be, you know, the dream backcourt. Put DeJounte on the ball, put Trae off the ball. That never happened. Trae was on the ball, DeJounte was off the ball. And it was like, I always looked at it as DeJounte Murray should be insurance for just in case the Trae Young experience doesn't work. And the Trae Young experience ain't working to me. And I think DeJounte Murray is the guy they should build that team around, just being real. But at that contract price for Trae Young, moving him is, you know, a lot easier said than done as well, so.
Do you think the Atlanta Hawks would be favored in a series?
No.
Against Boston?
No.
Because I think I'd favor them. I mean, Boston can't beat them. That's why
they've already locked up the one.
I know, but I got questions, bro. Like, I don't think Boston's beating the Nuggets in a 7-game series.
No, the Nuggets gonna smack whoever.
Are we going to get repeat champs in college and pro?
Look that way.
UConn.
Look that way.
Yeah.
And if we get... if we get repeat champs in college, now look at this. You got the Chiefs win. You got the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, right? If you get repeat champs in NBA and in men's college basketball, and South Carolina goes undefeated, like where's the hope for parity, man? the parity thing we've talked about so much. If that's what happens in your major sports across the board, I don't know anything about MLB or NHL, but if you get that in those sports, that should tell you that, you know, greatness and legacy still reign supreme.
901 FC.
Man, they ain't got no game this week. They want to say they.
No, is the year. You're talking. I'm adding a championship.
Oh, we gonna get
to
it.
All of that.
We gonna get it. They got my boy Kissadoo about here, man. They being hard on my boy Knight Pickering though. They got a new dude Tulu, man. You gotta come check him out.
I know you and Craig Unger are tight. It's opening day down there.
Craig Unger.
He runs AutoZone Park.
I don't know him like that. I know my boy. I can't think of his name. Yeah, the dude is like the new CEO of the team.
Of 901 FC. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Unger's over like the park.
Yeah, that's that's.
It's opening day down there, and you're a big AutoZone Park man.
No.
Oh, it is. It is. We got
these
specials.
Opening day for Redbirds.
I'm 901 FC only, bro.
305 today.
305.
Santa only goes for 901 FC, but yeah. AutoZone welcomes all.
Do you mess with baseball at all?
Mm.
Like, would you?
When I was a kid, I used to watch it. Like, I was a big baseball card collector and got into the video games.
Go to Chicks games, right? No. We all did.
You didn't go to Chicks games?
Mm-mm.
If you had to pick a sport, like, you have to watch one, like, how would you rank soccer? No, not soccer. I know you'd pick that. Mm. Baseball, golf, baseball or golf. Which one would you rather?
I actually enjoy going to the tournament that comes here, the golf tournament. So I probably would put golf over baseball because it just – you just look – man, if you're a smooth dude, man, like, you know what I'm saying, like myself, bro, you look – you can go out there and look cool as hell watching.
You actually can.
Live golf, bro. You really can look like you know what I'm saying, might be that dude for real.
What about hockey? Would you go to a hockey game?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, hockey's one they always say, like, they got to go to the playoff games. Like
yeah,
the playoff.
Hockey looks good on television. So live, it'd probably be cool, too. Soccer, I can't watch on television. Like, I got to be there watching it.
Right, part of the festivities.
Yeah, I got to be out there.
But, man, soccer just has so much nothing happening.
Yeah, like, literally, like, a dude standing on top of the ball.
Oh, yes.
Kicking the hill, kicking back to me.
For sure. It's like,
and the ball moves backwards, which is like, all right.
I know. It's like, bro, we're not advancing.
Why y'all ain't going that way?
we're just playing around
As a fan, it's got a learning curve, man, because it's like,
yeah, man.
Why are we kicking the ball back to the dude? We're supposed to be protecting the ball from, like, I don't know.
Have you seen this Marc Gasol movie yet?
No, I do.
They didn't ask you or me or John to be in it.
Man, because they know they don't want no real answer.
Really,
about
you should have been asked. John or me should not. You're on a different level.
I loved Marc Gasol, bro.
We were not asked to be.
I love Marc too.
What's the movie called?
But we're gonna stop acting like Marc was the best player doing that run, bro.
Harrington and Jeff are both featured apparently.
Oh,
they said Jeff's like the first.
What is it like? It's a local documentary or something?
Yeah, on Marc. For the thing.
Craig Brewer?
I'm not sure who did it.
If I carried Mark's water like they did for that run,
damn,
I'd probably be on that joint too, bro. Like,
bro, Mark, we all loved Mark.
We loved Mark,
the very
but
end.
Mark was not the best player on that team, bro. Zachary Randolph was the Memphis Grizzlies.
Well, we already gave him his props.
No, like that's
but no, now the thing is,
there.
Oh, Mark's the best Grizzly in the world of all time. Stop. He wasn't, bro. Like,
no, I'm definitely the wrong person for that documentary because I would say that era was boring as hell compared to this
one. Yeah, and like all the stuff about Mark. Mark was like league. He was like NBA first team.
Yes.
No, listen.
Defensive player of the year.
He was all NBA first team back when you had to select a center of NBA first team. And Mark also played in the worst era of NBA centers, bro. I don't care what nobody wants to say.
Oh, my goodness.
The NBA, it wasn't no Jokic's in Mark's era. And he wasn't the Jokic of that era at all. So it wasn't no Embiid's in that era. It was like Dwight Howard and Andre Drummond were like the other centers of the league when Mark was there, bro. Like, he was one of the best centers in the league when they were in the worst era to be a center in the NBA.
Bleacher Report agrees with you that they did a top 25 ranking, and you were right. They were Zach's number one.
Hey, bro, Zach is the greatest Grizzly of all time. Like, Zach led us through playoff series back then.
Man, I wish we had Marc Gasol right now, though. Like,
yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
He came a little too
because
early.
Because he would be a modern version of himself, which would be...
Yes.
It would be peak Marc Gasol, but younger. Because when Mark started transitioning his game, he was too damn old.
That's a great point, bro.
Like, if you got, like, young... Yep. In shape, like he had the mindset he had when he retired.
Spanish Joker.
Oh yeah, exactly.
He would have. That's.
I don't think he's got the mentality to like take over games like Jokic.
He may not have that, but a better defender, you would say, than Jokic, right? So, I mean,
modern day Mark would be incredible.
Mark, he's not a Hall of Famer, is he? Or is he?
He's a Hall of Famer.
Okay, he's a Hall of Famer.
All of his contributions,
but he would have been even more sure of a Hall of Famer had he played. If had his rookie year been maybe 5 or 6 years later,
is Mark a Hall of Famer?
Is he?
Because
his global,
his three-time All-Star
not for his
defensive
NBA,
player,
not
yeah,
for his NBA,
international stuff. Yeah,
him and Powell both in there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I knew Powell was in. Yeah. I mean, I guess you have to put Mark in because
Powell's also NBA champion, more All-Stars, more All MVPs than Mark.
Mark would not have been a Hall of Famer on his Grizzlies career.
Never a
DPOY. Powell. Yeah.
Mark went to Toronto, got the title. That helped.
Mark also didn't win All-Defensive Team the year he won. Y'all know nerds.
Powell won Rookie of the Year, too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Powell won Rookie of the Year, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted now. Powell's resume was way better than Marcus Hall's was. And Mark was my guy, but he ain't 50. He sure ain't 12.
Kobe helped him get them titles, brother.
Who?
Kobe.
Man, Powell still was the most skilled big man in the league, baby.
But Kobe wanted Powell.
Kobe, y'all not finna act like Powell was just some role player, bro.
Kobe demanded
Powell.
Powell
was good as hell.
And Kobe,
made Powell into a champion.
Well, he did, but
That's that superstar narrative.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.